Today is the fifth day of March. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you today. Great to take the next step forward. Great to be back around the global campfire today. Thank you. Man, thank you for the outpouring of encouragement and love. Yesterday on the 21st birthday of my being here at Daily Audio Bible, I'm just a couple years older than that. Not too many, but I'll never tell. Or maybe someday I will, I don't know. Anyway, thank you for the outpouring of love. Grateful to be here today. Grateful to be able to take the next step forward together. Let's do that by going back into the book of Numbers. Today, chapters 4 and 5. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. Among the Levites, take a census of the Kohathites by their clans and their ancestral families. Men from 30 years old to 50 years old, everyone who is qualified to do work at the Tent of Meeting. The service of the Kohathites at the Tent of Meeting concerns the most holy objects. Whenever the camp is about to move on, Aaron and his sons are to go in, take down the screening curtain, and cover the Ark of the Testimony with it. They are to place over this a covering made of fine leather. Spread a solid blue cloth on top and insert its poles. They are to spread a blue cloth over the table of the presence and place the plates and cups on it, as well as the bowls and pitchers for the drink offering. The regular bread offering is to be on it. They are to spread a scarlet cloth over them, cover them with a covering made of fine leather, and insert the poles in the table. They are to take a blue cloth and cover the lampstand used for light with its lamps, snuffers, and fire pans, as well as its jar of oil by which they service it. Then they are to place it with all its utensils inside a covering made of fine leather and put them on the carrying frame. They are to spread a blue cloth over the gold altar, cover it with a covering made of fine leather, and insert its poles. They are to take all the serving utensils they use in the sanctuary, place them in a blue cloth, cover them with a covering made of fine leather, and put them on a carrying frame. They are to remove the ashes from the bronze altar, spread a purple cloth over it, and place all the equipment on it that they use in serving. The fire pans, meat forks, shovels, and basins. All the equipment of the altar. They are to spread a covering made of fine leather over it and insert its poles. Aaron and his sons are to finish covering the holy objects and all their equipment whenever the camp is to move on. The Kohathites will come and carry them, but they are not to touch the holy objects or they will die. These are the transportation duties of the Kohathites regarding the Tent of Meeting. Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, has oversight of the lamp oil, the fragrant incense, the daily grain offering, and the anointing oil. He has oversight of the entire tabernacle and everything in it, the holy objects and their utensils. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. Do not allow the Kohathite tribal clans to be wiped out from the Levites. Do this for them so that they may live and not die when they come near the most holy objects. Aaron and his sons are to go in and assign each man his task and transportation duty. The Kohathites are not to go in and look at the holy objects as they are covered, or they will die. The Lord spoke to Moses. Take a census of the Gershonites also, by their ancestral families and their clans. Register men from 30 years old to 50 years old, everyone who is qualified to perform service, to do work at the Tent of Meeting. This is the service of the Gershonite clans regarding work and transportation duties. They They are to transport the tabernacle curtains, the tent of meeting with its covering, and the covering made of fine leather on top of it, the screen for the entrance to the tent of meeting, the hangings of the courtyard, the screen for the entrance at the gate of the courtyard that surrounds the tabernacle and the altar, along with their ropes and all the equipment for their service. They will carry out everything that needs to be done with these items. All the service of the Gershonites, all their transportation duties and all their other work is to be done at the command of Aaron and his sons. You are to assign to them all that they are responsible to carry. This is the service of the Gershonite clans at the tent of meeting, and their duties will be under the direction of Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest. As for the Merarites, you are to register them by their clans and their ancestral families. Register men from 30 years old to 50 years old, everyone who is qualified to do the work of the tent of meeting. This is what they are responsible to carry as the whole of their service at the tent of meeting. The supports of the tabernacle with its crossbars, pillars, and bases, the posts of the surrounding courtyard with their bases, tent pegs, and ropes, including all their equipment and all the work related to them. You are to assign by name the items that they are responsible to carry. This is the service of the Merari clans regarding all their work at the tent of meeting, under the direction of Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest. So Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of the community registered the Kohathites by their clans and their ancestral families. Men from 30 years old to 50 years old, everyone who is qualified for work at the tent of meeting. The men registered by their clans numbered 2,750. These were the registered men of the Kohathite clans, everyone who could serve at the tent of meeting. Moses and Aaron registered them at the Lord's command through Moses. The Gershonites were registered by their clans and their ancestral families, men from 30 years old to 50 years old, everyone who is qualified for work at the tent of meeting. The men registered by their clans and their ancestral families, number 2,630. These were the registered men of the Gershonite clans. At the Lord's command, Moses and Aaron registered everyone who could serve at the tent of meeting. The men of the Merarite clans were registered by their clans and their ancestral families, those from 30 years old to 50 years old. Everyone who is qualified for work at the tent of meeting. The men registered by their clans numbered 3,200. These were the registered men of the Merarite clans. Moses and Aaron registered them at the Lord's command through Moses. Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of Israel registered all the Levites by their clans and their ancestral families, from 30 years old to 50 years old. Everyone who was qualified to do the work of serving at the tent of meeting and transporting it. Their registered men numbered 8,580. At the Lord's command, they were registered under the direction of Moses, each one according to his work and transportation duty, and his assignment was as the Lord commanded Moses. The Lord instructed Moses, "Command the Israelites to send away anyone from the camp who is afflicted with a skin disease, anyone who has a discharge, or anyone who is defiled because of a corpse. Send away both male or female. Send them outside the camp, so that they will not defile their camps where I dwell among them." The Israelites did this, sending them outside the camp. The Israelites did as the Lord instructed Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, when a man or woman commits any sin against another, that person acts unfaithfully toward the Lord and is guilty. The person is to confess the sin he has committed. He is to pay full compensation, add a fifth of its value to it, and give it to the individual he has wronged. But if that individual has no relative to receive compensation, the compensation goes to the Lord for the priest, along with the atonement ram, by which the priest will make atonement for the guilty person. Every holy contribution the Israelites present to the priest will be his. Each one's holy contribution is his to give. What each one gives to the priest will be his. The Lord spoke to Moses. Speak to the Israelites and tell them, if any man's wife goes astray and is unfaithful to him and sleeps with another, but it is concealed from her husband, and she is undetected, even though she has defiled herself, since there is no witness against her, and she wasn't caught in the act. And if a feeling of jealousy comes over the husband, and he becomes jealous because of his wife who has defiled herself, or if a feeling of jealousy comes over him and he becomes jealous of her, though she has not defiled herself, then the man is to bring his wife to the priest. He is also to bring an offering for her of 2 quarts of barley flour. He is not to pour oil over it or put frankincense on it, because it is a grain offering of jealousy, a grain offering for remembrance to draw attention to guilt. The priest is to bring her forward and have her stand before the Lord. Then the priest is to take holy water in a clay bowl. Take some of the dust from the tabernacle floor and put it in the water. After the priest has the woman stand before the Lord, he is to let down her hair and place in her hands the grain offering for remembrance, which is the grain offering of jealousy. The priest is to hold the bitter water that brings a curse. The priest will require the woman to take an oath and will say to her, if no man has slept with you, if you have not gone astray and become defiled while under your husband's authority, be unaffected by this bitter water that brings a curse. But if you have gone astray while under your husband's authority, if you have defiled yourself, and a man other than your husband has slept with you, at this point the priest will make the woman take the oath with the sworn curse, and he is to say to her, may the Lord make you into an object of your people's cursing and swearing when he makes your womb shrivel and your belly swell. May this water that brings a curse enter your stomach, causing your belly to swell and your womb to shrivel. And the woman will reply, amen, amen. Then the priest is to write these curses on a scroll and wash them off into the bitter water. He will require the woman to drink the bitter water that brings a curse, and it will enter her to cause bitter suffering. The priest is to take the grain offering of jealousy from the woman, present the offering before the Lord, and bring it to the altar. The priest is to take a handful of the grain offering as a memorial portion and burn it on the altar. Afterward, he will require the woman to drink the water. When he makes her drink the water, if she has defiled herself and been unfaithful to her husband, the water that brings a curse will enter her to cause bitter suffering. Her belly will swell and her womb will shrivel. She will become a curse among her people. But if the woman has not defiled herself and is pure, she will be unaffected and will be able to conceive children. This is the law regarding jealousy when a wife goes astray and defiles herself while under her husband's authority, or when a feeling of jealousy comes over a husband and he becomes jealous of his wife. He is to have the woman stand before the Lord, and the priest will carry out all these instructions for her. The husband will be free of guilt, but that woman will bear her iniquity. Mark 12:18-37. Sadducees who say there is no resurrection, came to him and questioned him. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife behind but no child, that man should take the wife and raise up offspring for his brother. There were seven brothers. The first married a woman and, dying, left no offspring. The second also took her, and he died, leaving no offspring. And the third likewise. None of the seven left offspring. Last of all, the woman died too. In the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be, since the seven had married her? Jesus spoke to them, "Isn't this the reason why you're mistaken? You don't know the scriptures or the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, haven't you read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the burning bush, how God said to him, 'I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'? He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken." One of the scribes approached. When he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which command is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have correctly said that he is one, and there is no one else except him. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is far more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to question him any longer. While Jesus was teaching in the temple, he asked, "How can the scribes say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself says by the Holy Spirit, 'The Lord declared to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' David calls him Lord. How then can he be his son?" And the large crowd was listening to him with delight. Psalm 48. Zion Exalted. A song, a psalm of the sons of Korah. The Lord is great and highly praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain, rising splendidly, is the joy of the whole earth. Mount Zion, the summit of Ziphon, is the city of the great king. God is known as a stronghold in its citadels. Look, the kings assembled. They advanced together. They looked and froze with fear. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there. Agony like that of a woman in labor. As you wrecked the ships of Tarshish with the east wind. Just as we heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of armies, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. God, within your temple we contemplate your faithful love. Like your name, God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with justice. Mount Zion is glad. Judah's villages rejoice because of your judgments. Go around Zion, encircle it, count its towers, note its ramparts, tour its citadels so that you can tell a future generation, this God, our God forever and ever, he will always lead us. Proverbs 10:26. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so the slacker is to the one who sends him on an errand. So as we continue through the book of Numbers, we're continuing with law, the law that would shape this culture of the emerging children of Israel as a nation. Particular care for the tabernacle, care for purity in the camp to keep disease from spreading. Then in the New Testament, in the book of Mark, Jesus confirms, oddly enough, the view of the Pharisees that resurrection from the dead is indeed true, while denying the belief of the Sadducees that there is no bodily resurrection. And then we get to the Proverbs, which has a way of saying something simple that is a very big bite. So we probably all work or have worked with people or just are around people who do as little as they possibly can. And those people tend to be the ones that complain the most, right? And I mean, maybe that's a mirror. Maybe we're one of those people. Proverbs is moving into that mindset and saying, that's not the path. Like, that's not a good mindset. So vinegar was used as an example today. And for years, I can't even remember when it started, but I started taking this spoonful of apple cider vinegar every morning and continue to this day to do that. And as many thousands of times as I've taken a spoonful of vinegar, it never goes down like smooth. It always crinkles up my nose and makes me close my eyes and shake my head. Maybe you've ever done this. Like, if not, go to your pantry, get a bottle of vinegar, take a spoon of it, and take a swig. You might feel that your teeth get set on edge because it is overpoweringly sharp. Or the other example is like fire in the eyes. So, man, if you've ever been at a campfire and the smoke, like the wind is blowing the smoke in your face, it doesn't take long to want to move, right? Because that smoke gets into your eyes and starts irritating your eyes and you can't breathe. Those are examples that we can clearly understand, and wisdom gives counsel using those examples. That's the kind of irritation someone that is lazy brings into work or into whatever situation where there's responsibility. So we have to remember that, and remember that everything that we do, everything that we say, whether at home or in the workplace, well, we're representing something and someone. We're representing a God that we claim to serve. And so if we're going to be lazy and sharp and irritating, I mean, sheesh, how long does it take before that gets kind of marginalized? How long do people want to be around that? And if that is us, then we need to become self-aware. This explains so much about why we are treated the way that we are. The converse would be true from the proverb. We should strive to be aware, conscientious, and diligent. So if being sharp and irritating and lazy is the one, then a hard-working, conscientious person would be soothing and sweet. And we can and should bring that part of the kingdom into everything that we do and everything that we say. And so the proverb is giving us another opportunity to become self-aware. And Holy Spirit, come. We invite you to help us be aware. Are we trying to do as little as possible while tending to complain the most? And if so, we become aware of that. And we acknowledge that. And we acknowledge the wrong in that. And we invite your Holy Spirit to help us change course and change direction. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Hi, this is Just Right for Jesus, and I'm calling in for our sweet sister, Shantae, from Port St. Lucie, Florida. You've called in and said that you want to pour out your heart, but have been struggling for whatever reason to do so. Thank you for your kind words, sister, and I have a scripture for you. Isaiah 41, verses 8 through 10. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners, I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you, and you have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Sister, it might be hard to call in sometimes. We can't say everything we want in 2 minutes, but what I can tell you is the call you made on March 1st, Dad, really touched my heart and meant a lot to me. You spoke for just a brief moment about Sparky and I and all the other wonderful people in this community that pour out their hearts and make it what it is. Just think, if those few seconds meant so much to me, and I'm sure Sparky as well, how much more so will your calls mean to the people who need to hear your story? I encourage you to start calling in. Little by little, write down your prayers. Use a stopwatch or a clock app on your phone to time it and make sure they're 2 minutes. Or speak from the heart without notes, whatever the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. We want to hear more from you, sweet sister. God has big plans for your life. You're a very special part of this community. And remember verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. You have a voice that needs to be heard, and I am looking forward to hearing it. If you don't feel like you are right in life or belong where you are, just know you are always just right for Jesus. I love you, family.
Hi, Dad or family. My name is Heidi. I'm from Wisconsin. I need prayers, please. I recently got let go from my job for talking about my faith to a couple of clients. And so first off, I want to pray for them that the seed was planted and that it does not go to waste. Next, I would like to pray for God's guidance. It's really hard to find a job doing what I do and, you know, making kind of equal pay as well as benefits. So I really need his guidance and just show me where to go, what to do. I just need him to guide my steps every day to come across the right thing. A lot of people are saying, you know, God must have something really big planned for me, but I'm not naive enough to know that, you know, even the disciples felt suffering. And even though I have great faith in our Lord, I'm just still scared, still very scared. So thank you all. I love you.
Bye. This call is for Elise. Lord, we lift up Elise to you. She's a new listener, 24 years young. And she lost her mama last year, the day before Mother's Day, to a rare cancer. And she is still dealing and reeling from that loss and grieving heavily. Lord, we just lift Elise up to you. She had a coworker to tell her about the dab, and she's tuning in. And Lord, we pray you just speak to her through your word and through the community of dab. We love you, Elise, and pray that you would find comfort and guidance through God's word. We love you, sweet sister. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
This is Valerie in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And this message is for God's little bird and anybody who is trying to get more positivity into their life and cut the negativity out. And you all know what you need to do. Cut out the negative videos and the negative music and replace it with positivity. I have been listening to my prophet, Prophet Lovey, and Prophetess Taryn Tarver Bishop, and just listening to God's word, listening to all of Daily Audio Bible. That's another thing I listen to. I don't listen to worldly music anymore. I do prayer many times a day. I set reminders on my phone. And I have to, you know, in the end times, we have wars and rumors of wars. We have to cut all this stuff out. We have to encourage each other to limit the stuff. And I also want to put this in your head. Facts and honesty do not equal truth. The devil uses facts, but God's truth is not the same thing. Your bank account may be saying facts that you are poor, but God's truth is saying that he's about to prosper you. The doctor may be telling you facts that you have cancer and days to live, but God's truth says that he's going to heal you. So listen to God's truth. Believe God's truth. That is said in love. It's at the level that you're ready to hear. And believe that. So God's truth says that Brian and Jill are going to be perfectly safe despite what the news says. Believe that, brothers and sisters. Trust in that. In Jesus' name.